This week on the Time Bat Show.
See, if we designed bathrooms, we would knock it out of the park.
I would be the best bathroom designer ever.
Me too.
Because I'm very considerate of people's
Time and efficiency and feelings.
Yeah.
And privacy. We could go into business as like co-bathroom designers.
This, I might actually be better at this than anything in the world. Like,
everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 36. I'm Time Asus.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
How are you doing today, Bats? What's going on with you?
Well, we were talking right before the show that I recently ate at Arby's.
We're getting right into it, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about this.
Getting into the good stuff right away. See, we don't waste any time here on the Time Bat Show. We have a lot to talk about, and we're diving right into the good stuff. What did you have at Arby's? I've talked about Arby's a bunch of times on this show.
I could say that the fact that I've been to Arby's recently might say something about how I've been feeling.
Oh, depressed?
Yeah. I mean,
getting closer to the age of 30. Yep. Got it.
Yeah. So I went to Arby's, and I ordered, you can order two of their Euros for, I think, whatever the price is.
Oh, my God. You didn't get a Euro at Arby's, did you?
I got a Euro at Arby's.
Oh, man, that sounds bad.
Do you not like, what do you order at Arby's?
I get the classic roast beef sandwich.
Oh, I got a Euro.
Oh, God. All right, let's hear the review.
It wasn't that bad.
Really? I'm surprised. It really wasn't that bad?
No, I mean, it wasn't good, but...
Did you get two?
Yeah, the deal is you can... they have, okay. I guess, turkey, and then other, and then another, and then Greek. No, I think it's turkey, roast beef, and Greek. I don't know what meat Greek is. But I got Greek, because...
Well, when in Rome.
I was feeling adventurous.
One in Greece. I think Greek is lamb and beef. That's typically what a Euro is, you know.
But this is a Arby's
that
Euro.
That is true. Maybe they do their own version of the Greek.
I got the Greek meat. And
Greek meat.
And I also ordered their jalapeno poppers, because that sounded interesting.
Wow, you really just did like a little tour of the menu here, huh?
Yeah, I've actually not eaten at Arby's until I heard you talking about them like semi-recently, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna
do it. Let's do this.
I'm at this point in my life where
you
it's time to go
you
eat
could
at
step
Arby's.
Step foot in at Arby's and feel okay about yourself. So, you got a Greek, and do you get another Euro, though?
Yeah, I got two Greek Euros and a jalapeno poppers.
See, you couldn't have changed it. You didn't change the Euro up.
So I
weren't feeling that
I guess
adventurous.
I could have tried the roast
you
beef.
You weren't fearing though. That. I feel like a roast beef Euro would just be weird.
That was my thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mess with that.
So here's the thing about Arby's. Like, they have a crap ton of stuff on their menu for some reason.
Yeah.
But like they're known for their roast beef sandwiches. So they have like roast beef, and then they have beef and cheddar, which is just a roast beef sandwich with like government cheese on it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what they're known for. So getting the Euro, you've kind of bypassed the original Arby's, you know, menu, if you will. Which is fine, but I would say in order to get the full experience, you got to go back and get like the classic menu.
I can try that.
Did you get their curly fries?
No, I didn't have their curly fries.
Yeah, you missed out.
I screwed it up.
You screwed up. What were you going to say?
Anyway, what's really interesting about Arby's is they have different sauces, don't they?
They do have a lot of sauces, yeah.
What is your favorite
sauce?
So
you have to get... The horsey sauce.
I tried that. That's good.
It is good. What did you have with the horsey sauce, though?
I just dipped jalapeno poppers in them.
You really took, like, the weird path to the Arby's. I mean, it's fine. There's no wrong way to experience Arby's.
Yeah, I tried it on... I tried all the sauces on the Euros and on the jalapeno poppers. This was probably not intended.
Yeah, to do that. It's fine.
To do that.
Have I told you my good idea for like a spin-off podcast of this show? Have I told you that?
I think I might have heard it. Is that the one where you eat every menu item?
Yes. So it wouldn't be every week because I think that'd be too much. But it'd be like once a month, I would go to Arby's and I would slowly check off every item on their menu and do a review. I would come home and do an episode while eating that menu item and doing like a live review of it at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there are other YouTube kind of channels that do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, they do that all the time. But they don't do it with Arby's, so there's the difference. They don't do it that way. And I'm coming at it from I think I've said all I need to say about the format, really. They have a lot of things on their menu. And that's my idea, so I think I'm going to do that one day.
Yeah, you could even, when they have special releases like the Euro.
Yeah, I could camp out at the Arby's. You could
make a big deal out of that.
Mm-hmm. I could interview the chef.
the chef?
The cook. I don't know.
I watched how they made it.
The chef.
They have pre-portioned bags of meat, and they just put it in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just put it. They empty the bag onto the whatever the delivery device.
The Arby's chef.
Yes.
Hello, sir. How? I'm here to try your new buffalo chicken gyro. And then he's like, "Oh yes, we really spent a lot of time in the kitchen testing this out." And then you're like, "Yep, thank you." And then you eat it, and then you give your review. 10 out of 10. Well, I'm glad you experienced Arby's. You need to go back and get the curly fries and the roast beef sandwich, because those are like basic Arby's. And then once you get that, report back with how you felt about it.
Yeah, I think I maybe like went a little too advanced on my first trip.
I think you went... Yeah.
I think the Euro and jalapeno poppers are pretty advanced menu items.
Yeah.
For experienced Arby's users only.
To be fair, I've never even gotten those before because I know what I like at Arby's, and I don't venture too far out because I know the rest of that is super hit or miss. Here's the thing about menus, right? The bigger the menu, the more likely any one thing is going to be bad, yeah. Right? So that's my life philosophy right there.
I think like Chinese restaurants are like especially known for this, where they have like 50 menu items, but there's really just two.
There's only like two or three things you should order. That's what always like bothers me about some restaurants. Like, have you ever gone to a restaurant, like maybe Chinese place or any restaurant, and they're like, "What do you want?" And then you're like, "Okay, like I don't know which of these is good." And then you like choose one, and you're like, "Yeah, I'll have the I'll have the beef." Mongolian beef or something, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then they, like, look at you and, like, give you kind of, like, a weird look. Like,
it's like, oh.
And they're like, all right, that's what you want. And you're like, wait a minute.
Oh, and you can't change it.
No, because you
have to be like, yeah, that's what I wanted to order. I order this all the time. This is my favorite.
It's my favorite thing. But, yeah, at that point, the damage is done. You can't retract it. But they're like, all right, that's what you want. And you're like, no. This happens
to me so often.
It's a problem, right? Because it happens like at every like Chinese place. Happens at a lot of places with large menus. Because there's like two or three good things, like you said, but you have no idea what the good things are.
Yeah.
You're like, if I get the Mongolian beef, they're like, yeah, I guess you can get that. They're like, nobody orders that, but we'll make it for you. And it'll be really bad, and then you get it.
Have to get old stuff out of the walk-in.
Yeah.
The chef doesn't even know how to make it. He just like makes a mess.
He like Googles the recipe. He's like, "Oh right, that's how to do it. I forgot." And then you get it, and it's like not even close to the picture that it shows or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to get out of that.
Yeah, that's really the funniest part about that situation is after you've said your order and the waiter just looks at you like, oh, man, I'm not going to get a good tip. He's going to hate this.
Well, like, what do you do? Like, I don't know. I guess.
And then he comes back around and asks you how it was. And
yeah, and you're like, it was great. Because you can't lie.
That's why I ordered it.
Yeah, it's like, I love it.
My favorite.
It's my favorite dish. And then you never go back to that restaurant ever again.
And if you do,
you don't.
And
get
you order
that.
Something different, and the waiter asks you, "Oh, no Mongolian beef today, eh?"
You're like, "Oh, cutting back or something." Yeah, I don't know how to. There's not really any good solution for getting out of that. I guess that's more of like a you ask the waiter, like, "Oh, what do you recommend before?"
Yeah.
Before you order, but I don't like to do that because I feel like it really pigeonholes me. You know, like you're like, what do you recommend? And you be the waiter. Give me three things.
Right? So I recommend you try the chicken with cashews or the chicken with peanuts or the spicy chicken.
And then I'm like, if I'm not feeling chicken, I'm like, oh, yeah, that all sounds good. But I'm going to do the Mongolian beef instead.
And then I'm like, oh, okay.
And then you feel kind of like a dick because, like, you just wasted the waiter's time. Like, they're like, these are really good. And then you're like, okay, thanks for your recommendations. I don't care about anything you just said. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of dangerous, getting recommendations and then not following them. But is it worth doing that over getting the bad menu item that nobody wants? Maybe. I don't know. I wish there was a socially acceptable way to ask the waiter, like, All right, come over here, close. What's bad here? Like, what's not good?
Yeah, just tell him straight up, like, listen, I know that not all of these things on the menu are good. There's 50 things on the menu. They can't all be good.
It's like, just tell me, like, the top, like, just, like, tell me what the bad ones are. You know, just give me like the top 10 or something, and they're like, and then they like take a marker out and they just like X out like a large chunk of the menu. Like, don't do anything here. You're like, okay, yeah. I kind of wish a lot of restaurants had smaller menus sometimes because it makes it easier to pick.
Yeah,
you know, because when it's too big, like you have a high likelihood of screwing up, and then you feel bad the entire meal. It like ruins the whole experience because like. Before you get your food, you're thinking, like, how bad is this going to be? You know? Like, I wonder if this is going to be as bad as the waiter's face made it out to be. And then when you get the meal, it is that bad. And then you're like, wow, I just spent $11 on this terrible meal.
You know, it's worse, too, if you're eating out with someone. Yep. And you have to pretend like you're enjoying
it. Like, And they're like, how's yours? And they're like, it's great. How's yours? It's delicious.
And theirs looks so much better.
Yeah. Like, they like went with like the safe, like they did like sesame chicken or something.
Yeah.
Like that's good, like no matter where you go, you know. And you're like, oh, I wish I did that. But you had to go and pick the weird thing.
Why did I have to try something
that they never make in the restaurant? Yeah. That they never make. Ugh, it's tough. It's hard out there. But anyway, smaller smaller menus at restaurants, I think they go a long way. Some restaurants try to like highlight specific things. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, you worked in the food industry for a while.
Yeah, they'll have like a pepper next to the
pot. Yeah, or like a star.
You know what I'm
something.
Talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Next and they'll to be the like, popular
item. Featured item or whatever. And you're like, okay, is that supposed to be like really good?
Yeah, it's like not to be confused with a special, which you should just never order at any restaurant.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just don't think you should. Unless okay. It's a really fancy restaurant. I think you should just stick with what they know.
What they know how to do. So does the featured thing mean like this is better than all the other junk we have on the menu? Or what? Is that what that means?
I don't know. Maybe if Guy Fieri eats at your restaurant, it'll be like, this is what Guy Fieri ordered.
Oh, they could have like a picture of him next
yeah.
to it. Like, this is what he ate. That would be a good restaurant idea, though, right? You have, like, if you have celebrities in your restaurant a lot, you, like, have their face next to the each.
Like, this is what this person ordered.
Yeah. Isn't that a good idea?
That would be a really good idea. I think at Metro Diner, they have Guy Fieri's face on the menu. I haven't been there in a while, but...
I mean, every restaurant should really aspire to get Guy Fieri's face on the menu. Preferably the very front cover of the menu.
Yeah, as large and as high a resolution picture right. as possible.
And he's, like, drooling over the food or whatever. And giving a thumbs up. He's like, this place is the best. I recommend getting the Mongolian beef here or whatever. Yeah. But no, I think like a famous person's face next to the thing they got, it'd be good. It'd be cool to go to like a New York deli or something, one of those like really popular ones where all the celebrities go, and see like all the things yeah. that they got. Like Jack Nicholson loves the pastrami sandwich or whatever, right?
I bet you he would like the pastrami sandwich.
He's a pastrami kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then like Woody Allen likes the
tuna salad. No, I was thinking like chicken parm.
Chicken parm?
Chicken
parm. This is like a deli. Where are you getting chicken parm? Maybe
they might have. It's New York. They have chicken parmesan everywhere.
Sandwich. Okay. I was thinking like tuna salad or something, but I don't know. See, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say. Anyway, all right. That was an exciting discussion of food. Anything else you did recently? You went to Arby's. You see any movies? You play any good video games?
I haven't seen any movies recently, but there is a. I mean, there's always a new one of these games being released, but there is a demo for a new Toho game that's coming out in August that I played today, and you know, it's pretty
cool. Toho's
fun.
The shmup, the shoot 'em up games, right?
Yeah, Toho Top is down. That really. It goes a while back. I think there are 15 or 16 games now, but it's that indie series made by one person that
yeah, it's like one dude in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Does he sell them? Or okay. Does he release them for free or what?
So this is from what I've read, all right, his name is Zune, and he's one of the coolest people on the planet, probably. Uh-huh. I think he's just a man that lives alone, and he never goes outside.
And he makes top-down shoot-em-ups.
Yes, and that's all he's done since PC 98.
Like 20 years.
Now, it's cool because he releases games extremely quickly. He's really good at making games.
Like, he does all the art and music, too, right?
He does all the art. He composes all the music. And it's still, they're still stuck on that MIDI kind of like,
yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, like 1998 kind of sounds.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds really good, but
no, I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
Toho Man, I guess.
Toho
right?
Man. He releases all of his games. There's one big, it's like Comic-Con in New York, not New York, in Tokyo.
In Tokyo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And every year he goes to this comics convention and just sells his games on CD-ROMs, and I'm pretty sure everyone just pirates them after that because there's no DRM or anything.
So he just makes money that one day, that one weekend. That's his income right there.
He also sells like soundtracks and
like,
you know,
t-shirts
comics
probably
and,
maybe
yeah like other assets from the game kind of sold outside.
So
of the
here's
game.
Here's what I want to know, right? How do you become the Toho Man, right? Like what course of life events take you to that juncture? You know, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like how do I become? You know what I mean? How does an yeah. average person do that?
How do you yeah. have like a passion that big? That all you do
and ever. The skills and yeah. the free time
yeah
to do that, you know, you need like passion, you need skills, and you need free time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of all those things, and he's made like 20 games, right?
Yeah. And he's still going, and it's still just him. He hasn't like contracted people to help him with this, like.
I heard a story that about like his, I think it was regarding his recent game that he's releasing soon or whatever.
Okay,
is that someone wanted from the U.S. wanted to like publish it in the U.S. Mm-hmm. like, and he would get like a cut or whatever, and he was like, no, he refused to let them translate it to English and publish it because he just wants it in Japan.
And he just wants to sell it on CD-ROMs.
Yes.
This one comic.
Right, like, he doesn't want his game to make more money than it already is. He's like, nope, this is the way I want to do it.
This is exactly how I want things to be, and it's everything is perfect.
Like, how do you become that person? I'm just intrigued by this man. I want to talk to this man and understand why he does
the things. Oh, I would love to talk to this guy. So there's a similar kind of project in the sense that there's just been one guy working on a game for 20 years, and the similar game is Dwarf Fortress. It's another indie game. Right. Tarn Adams, I think, is the creator. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a weird tangent, but in Dwarf Fortress, I think one of the coolest game mechanics is that a dwarf will suddenly enter what's called a fey mood. Mm-hmm. And once a dwarf enters a fey mood, mm-hmm. he will take over a workshop and start working on a mysterious construction. Mm-hmm. And the dwarf will work on this construction until it's finished. He won't eat, won't sleep. Some of them die working on these.
Wow, this is intense.
This is in-game, right? This is a dwarf in-game.
Yeah.
And then once the work he's working on is completed, it's a legendary artifact. Yeah. And that's the only way to make all the best items in the game. It happens by random chance. It can't happen to every dwarf. And when it does happen, it's extremely dangerous, because if the dwarf does not finish the mysterious construction, like if you don't have enough materials or something, the dwarf will go insane and kill everybody.
Oh my god, what the hell? So
it's like, this is his life work that he must complete. Like,
so
it can be something like a barrel. Like, like, Dwarf X has completed the legendary artifact
of the
willow
barrel.
Wood barrel.
Barrel. Cherry wood barrel is like now
he
completed.
Had to create this.
This is kind of an analogy for the person that makes Dwarf Fortress, isn't it?
Yes. And I think it's kind of similar with Toho Man.
They just have their one thing that they really want to do.
They have entered a fey mood in life, and they have decided that
they really want to do that thing.
And that they're going to do it.
No matter what.
And no matter what. And nothing can stop them.
Doesn't the Dwarf Fortress guy, doesn't he make all his money via donations and stuff?
Yeah, he doesn't even charge for his game.
See, I don't know how you live that way. You know, I'm sure he makes enough money now, because the game's popular. But when it first started, I was like, nope, not doing anything else. Just living on donations. And then, like, he got no money because nobody knew about his game. I don't know. It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, it does seem crazy.
Are you going to go in a fey mood sometime and just do
Probably
that?
Not. I think about things too much to do something like that. Like, I understand consequences a little bit too well.
You're just, like, not willing to take that risk. You're like, you know, I could do that, but I might go hungry and die. So maybe that's not the best course of action. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Damn those consequences, right? Gotta think about those, and then you don't do things that you want to do. Okay, are you ready for an animal news story?
I'm ready for an animal news story.
Kind of a weird one. So there was a snake, and it like was fighting another snake, and it ate the other snake, and the other snake was alive while it was eating the snake, and then I guess the other snake like bit the snake that ate the snake, and from the inside
while he was in the snake,
and the bigger snake regurgitated the snake inside while the snake inside was alive. So it was like, I don't even know how to read the story, but that's it happened in Texas.
Series of events.
And one snake ate another snake, and then he regurgitated that snake while it was already alive. That's just a very interesting circle of life story we have there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Snake eats a snake, snake inside the snake bites the snake, and then snake regurgitates the still alive
snake.
And
they're just theorizing that it bit him, but they don't really know why he's regurgitating.
Yeah, maybe this snake just, like, you would feel it in you.
Yeah. Like, the other snake's, like, moving around. It's like, I'm still alive in here. And then the snake's like, all right, fine, I'll regurgitate. I don't eat live meals. I always wondered that about snakes, because they, like, eat their victims, if you will, whole, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, aren't they still alive when they get in there?
Probably.
You know? Like, isn't that what? How does that work? Like, what are the mechanics of that? You know?
Well, like, I mean, you can't really go anywhere.
I mean, that's true. This is like the plot of every movie with a big monster, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll get him. And then you're like, what are you doing, Grok? And he's like, I'm going to get eaten by the big monster.
And then I'll cut my way out. And then I'll my
cut, big sword. Cut my way out. Like, isn't that like every movie?
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And I'll cut my way out with my big sword. So maybe the smaller snake had like a really sharp tooth or something. And he was like, I'm going to tooth my way out of the bigger
snake. He might have been rolling around in something, like he was too spicy or something. He had something on his skin, like pesticide.
He was rolling around like jalapenos or something. Yeah.
he used to live in a jalapeno bush and
a jalapeno patch. Let's call it that. And he just had jalapeno juice all over himself.
Yes. The snake was like, too spicy. Need to spit this out.
He's like, this is not. Like, I can't do spicy foods. It gives me indigestion.
And then it makes my ulcers act up.
Right. And he regurgitates them. So, yeah, I thought that was a funny story. You don't really hear that too often. Okay. Do you want to get into some Reddit?
We have
really good questions today. And by really good, I mean not great. I feel like Reddit has been taking like a hit in quality lately. Like Ask Reddit. Have you noticed that?
I think it used to be better.
Maybe we're just like reliving the glory days.
The glory days of back when Ask Reddit was good.
No, of back when our podcast was good. Well, not good, but you know what I mean. Like, you always put like the rosy colored glasses. Like, we've only put, what is this, episode 36?
Yeah.
So we've done 35 before this, and I feel like I have that nostalgia for like the first like 15.
Yeah, you know? It felt weirder.
It felt
good.
It was like unknown and fun and weird. Yeah. It was like, what are we doing? I don't know. And now it's just like, whatever. It's just a thing we do.
We'll just knock out an episode.
Whatever. Just knocking out an episode tonight. If you like it, cool. If you don't, tough shit. Whatever.
Yeah, we usually don't do the episode on Wednesdays. And today you texted me like, hey, you want to do the episode today? And, you know, my first thought is, yeah, of course I can do it today. You know, we can do an episode anytime.
Yeah, like we could do an episode every day. I mean,
we can just knock one out.
Like no preparation. Just another day in the life, you know? So maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm just thinking back of like, oh, the good old days when we had a lot of bad questions but made the best of them because we didn't have any structure for the show. No, I don't know. Okay, so what was the coolest thing you've ever done that no one around witnessed? So something you did that was really cool that no one saw. And you're like, wow, I wish someone saw me do that.
I'm not a very cool person. Like, I don't really go around doing cool things a lot.
Me neither. I'm not very good at it.
I'm kind of the opposite kind of person, actually, where a lot of really uncool things happen to me a lot, and I'm just happy people don't see them.
Do they happen to you while you're around people, or no?
Usually, it'll just be something I notice, or something that hopefully only I notice. Like, I'll drop something, or spill something on myself.
Right,
or,
and you're like, wow, that was really uncool.
I'll have my pan in the oven. I've done this like 10 times. I'll have a pan in the oven and I'm cooking something in the pan. And I open the oven and try to take the pan out with my hand. Like,
oh, just, yes, good.
I have burns all over my arm.
Oh my goodness. That's horrible. At least no one's around to see it. Have you ever done something really uncool in public and then tried to, like, you know, you always have, like, the brush it off kind of thing. Like, I meant to do that. That was intentional.
Yeah, no big deal.
Like, you, like, drop your glasses on the floor or drop a pen or your wallet or whatever. And then you, like, try to make up for it. So you're trying to, like, okay, how can I pick this up in a cool way? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, imagine you drop your wallet out of your pocket. And so, like, I would try to pick it up in, like, a I'm going to snatch it up kind of way.
Yeah.
So it's like a smooth, flowing motion, you know?
And then you accidentally hit it, and it goes flying into a vase.
Well, yes, that didn't happen, but yes, like it just mounts. The uncoolness just mounts. What's the most uncool thing you've done in public accidentally? Or not in public, just in a public setting, and not necessarily.
I had something happen to me recently where I thought the conversation was over, but I didn't realize that the conversation wasn't over, so I started walking away, and it turns out the person was still engaged and was following me.
Oh, that's the worst.
And it was really, really awkward.
Was it someone you knew, or was it just some random
person? It was at work.
Okay.
So, you know, they asked me to do something. I was like, okay, I'll do it, and then I just started walking away, and I figured that's it. Like, we've exchanged all the information we need to exchange. This is
We're done here. We're done, yeah.
But no, the person was following me, and I just looked like a huge
idiot.
Huge jerk. Idiot.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second? Like, I don't know when conversations end. Like, I'm really bad at that, you know? Like,
same.
Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, let's just make a hypothetical. I go up to someone at work or something, and it's not for like a business thing. It's like to say hello. It's like, hi, how's it going? Or someone comes up to me, right? And you're like, hi, how's it going? They're like, fine, how are you? And you're like, good, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you make chit chat, small talk. Or maybe you're telling them about something you did over the weekend, like, oh, I saw that movie. And they're like, how was it? And they're like, oh, it was pretty good. And then you know, it comes to a natural end. And then you're kind of just standing there, like, okay, is this conversation over? Or should I say something else? But, like, you don't really know because maybe the person was talking. Like, maybe they said the last thing. You know what I mean? So maybe they're waiting for your response to that last thing. But in the back of your head, like, I'm kind of feeling being done with this, you know? But you don't want to just walk away because that's rude. So, like, what do you do? Like, the problem is, if you say something in response to them, they're going to say something in response to you, and then you'll just have a conversation forever.
Yeah.
You know? Someone's got to be like, all right, we're done. So, like, how do you do that? I don't know the answer, you know? And I have problems with this all the time.
I have a problem with this every single day. I don't know how to handle something as simple as someone asking me how... All right, you're passing someone in the hall. You're heading north. They're heading south.
Yeah.
They ask you, hey, how are you?
What do you do in that situation?
Yes, like, what do you want me to say? We're about to pass each other.
This is a great example. This happens to me all the time. Like,
it is literally impossible for me to say how I'm doing and then ask how you're doing
in the time it takes
to pass.
So, like, what do you do in that situation?
I usually just go, good.
And then you're just walking. That's the problem I have. So I do that, too. But sometimes I'll accidentally say, I'm fine. How are you? But the problem with that is by that point, we've already passed each other. And then they're like, I just say, how are you? Like, as we pass. And then he has nothing to say because we're already gone.
He can't respond.
I just said, how are you, to the void, basically. You know? And that's super awkward, right?
You've said, how are you, to the void, just to make yourself feel like you're a polite person.
Yeah. So I had this thing happen to me. This is another thing that I'm bad with social situations. I'm not socially awkward. I just don't. Maybe everyone has these, like, starting and stopping conversations confuses me. Like, I can do fine in the middle of one, but, like, I don't know when it's acceptable to be like, this is, I'm done, or, like, you know, whatever. So I was drive-through at, like, a fast food restaurant, I don't remember where. And, oh, no, I went inside because the drive-through line was really long. Mm-hmm. So I order, I get my food, you know, I'm leaving with food in hand to go home. Someone sees me in the drive-through, okay? Like, they're driving in, they're in their car, they're in the drive-through line. I'm walking, like, out of the restaurant, and they call to me, like, hey, hey. And I'm like, what? Is someone calling my name? And so I turn, and they say, like, hey again, and they're, like, waving. Like, as though they're, like, you know, they're saying hello.
They're beckoning.
I recognize this person from, I don't remember, work or something.
Yeah.
You know, I've met them before. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, good, how are you? And then at that point, I have no idea what to do because this person is in the drive-through lane about to get their food. And I'm almost at my car. So, like, what do I do now? You know, like, What is the proper protocol for that? Am I supposed to just be like, okay, see ya? Or am I supposed to, like, wait for them to, like, get done and, like, come talk to me or something? Like, I don't know. It's similar to your situation of walking by someone in the hall, but more awkward because they're specifically calling you out in a public place after not seeing you for a while.
You know, all right, this... If you continue talking with them too, you're seriously inconveniencing the people behind them.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You're just being so rude.
Exactly. And I do not want to do that. Like, same. That's the last thing I want to do. Right?
So you have, there's no good option.
No, there really
isn't.
Disengage
and be rude to your friend, or you can inconvenience like 50 people behind them.
That's the other thing. That's another reason I have a lot of trouble in some situations. Because if someone says hello or how you doing in a place like that, like in a place where people are making transactions and stuff, the longer you talk with them, the more you're inconveniencing everyone else. So I'm trying to extricate myself from all these situations as fast as possible because I'm always thinking of the person that's like behind them in the grocery store or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't want to just sit here while I have a conversation with this person. You know what I mean?
The worst example of this, and people do it all the time where I work, is two people having a conversation in the doorway and they're blocking the door and you can't get through.
Right. You have no choice.
I walk up and I'm just standing there and existing and sitting there awkwardly, and they look at me and
waiting
sometimes
for them.
Wink.
Yeah,
they'll wink. They'll go like,
like what? We're gonna be done soon? Wink or something?
It's like, can you just move? I'm trying to get through the door.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
I don't want to be rude, but you're being rude.
Like, right? No, they are being rude. And that always confuses me because, like, yes, I want to be polite and talk to the person talking to me, but also I don't want to inconvenience every other person in this area at the same time, which I feel like you're doing every time you do that, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, like, sometimes you'll go to restaurants or, like, stores that you frequent, and the cashier will, like, you know, try to make small talk with you. Maybe if you, like, go enough, they'll, like, recognize you, and you'll be like, hey, how's it going? Good. Right. How are you? But, like, I never know how long those are supposed to last because, like, I could keep talking to this guy for a while.
Yeah.
But I know you got other customers, and I know you probably don't want to talk to me for very long. But at the same time, I don't want to be rude to you and be like, I'm fine, just give me my food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that too.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, especially at cash registers at grocery stores.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that you're required by your employer to be nice to me and talk to me, but.
Right.
Like, it's fine. You can just say hi and bye. I'm not...
Yeah. But, like, I kind of feel bad if I don't talk to them more because they're making the effort. But at the same time, like, I'm screwing up everyone else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was at a sub shop recently, right?
I wouldn't want to talk to me.
Like, yeah, no. Well...
In their position.
You know what I mean. Like, I was at a sub shop recently, and I go up to order a sub. And I go there a lot, so they're like, oh, do you want a blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know? And they're like, oh, you come here a lot. And then, like, he makes small talk. Like, how's your day going? Oh, fine, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the conversation didn't really naturally end. But, like, I needed it to because there's people behind me that want to get to the guy to make their, you know. So I was just like, all right, bye. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
But, like, it was rude, but, like, what am I supposed to do, you know, in this situation? And I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's weird. Stopping conversations, I never know when they're supposed to end.
There are 1,000 examples of this I could give.
You know.
It happens to me really every single day.
Maybe we as a society just need to, like, come up with, like a gesture or something to be like, and we're done.
Just hold you know up your I mean? Hands, like...
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah, like, and not, like, in a rude way. Just, like, sorry, I've got to go, or, like, it's just, like, a universal gesture of, like, I know that I need to get where I'm going, and I know you need to continue what you were doing, and I would love to talk to you more, but I can't because of the situation we're in. Like, it expresses all that thing. And obviously, you can't say all that in words because that takes like a minute. But it's just like that gesture means all that.
And it would sound really weird.
Yeah, and it would sound really weird in public. They're like, what are you talking about? But like, you just do a gesture that communicates that. Like, it was great talking to you. I would love to talk to you some more. But because we're in a public place or we're passing the hall in the bathroom, like, we can't really do that. So goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just says all that stuff. What kind of gesture would that, like a hand kind of thing? I'm thinking maybe.
Yeah, you'd want to make it a physical gesture so that you know, maybe, anyone.
Maybe like a downward kind of karate chop kind of thing. Not like karate chop, but like you're just like, it's like the cut symbol, like, you know, and done. You like, you know, make your hand into like a flat and then you just like wave it down. You know,
maybe a thumbs down and you shake your head no.
That seems rude though, doesn't it? Like, no. I mean,
like a karate chop seems kind of rude too. Like, nope, cutting you off here. You
can't. Yeah, that does seem rude. What if you just like snapped and did like the pointer thing?
What about a shrug? Like you just shrug. Like
that could work. I think people naturally do that to end conversations. So here's another thing I do. This is another strategy I have. When I'm in a conversation and I'm like, okay, is this conversation over? You know, and I'm like, I don't know if I should say, well, goodbye. I'll say like, well, I don't know, because they said something like funny or something. And I'll just be like, well, I don't know. And I'll shrug and then I'll walk off and kind of mumble like, well, I don't know. And then I'll be like, and that's like it, you know.
Oh, mumbling as you're leaving. That's like the most me thing ever. Just like as you're walking away, you're like, yes.
It is. And then I'll be like, I don't even know what we're talking about, but I'm like, well, it is what it is. And then you just mumble. I do that every day. It's so awkward. It's true, though.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, you have to have, it's like my go-to, like, because they say something, they usually end with something that's annoying them. They're like, oh, you know, this project is annoying me because blah, blah, blah. And then I'm just like, well, I don't know.
Well, another day, another dollar, gotta go.
Exactly. You say something like meaningless to end the conversation because you have no idea what else to say in that situation, you know. And you're like, oh, I really need to get back to work, but I have no idea what to say to you that just said I hate my job or whatever. And he's like, well, I don't know, I can't help you there, goodbye. Oh god, I'm an awkward person, I guess.
Yeah, same.
Maybe not. I feel like I do fine. I just have trouble with the ending of conversations. I think another thing is I don't enjoy small talk at all. So like frequently when that starts happening, I'm like, all right, this is the end of the conversation because I rather would be working or doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, all right, well, good talking. I don't never say good talking to you because that's like an indication of the conversation ending. So I'll just be like, well, it is what it is or something like stupid. Yeah,
there's a person I work with and I appreciate that she does this, but when people call me at work, it's because they want something. They're not just calling to talk to me and see how my day is going. So they call, and this particular person must make small talk for like a good bit before the request comes.
And you're like,
I just want to be like, listen, I know you need something. Let me help you faster. Just let's
see. This is where the gesture would come in, right? Yes. The universal. Obviously, you can't do that over the phone, but I feel like if we had a universal gesture for like, let's cut to the chase, and it also means like, this is the end of the conversation. Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, like, listen, I really appreciate you doing this. It does make me feel good, but it still kind of makes me feel a little annoyed, too.
I think the cut thing...
So much to do.
I think the cut thing is natural. Like, it's like, we're done. But I do understand that might be a little rude. Cut. You know? You cut the air with your hand. Open palm. Maybe that's a little rude. Maybe a wink.
Maybe a wink, like, yeah, it's...
It is what it is.
And it is what it is.
And then you wink and do the finger gun. And then you walk away. And then you mumble something else like as you're walking.
I mean, that's what I do anyway. So,
so just keep doing that. Oh, I'm going to do that next time I go to the sub shop. They'll be like, so how was your day? Like, good. How was yours?
It is what it is.
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. My wife's really breathing down my neck. And I'm like, it is what it is. And then I walk away. We cracked it.
Perfect.
Okay. This is a serious question on Reddit.
Okay.
Why do bathroom stalls have such large gaps to see through in the bottom?
You mean, like, you can see people's shoes?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah.
It wouldn't be that much more expensive to make them just go to the bottom.
Haven't we had this conversation before?
No, I don't think we have.
I feel like this was, like, episode 3 or something. Like, this is an early, early thing. No.
I generally remember our bathroom topics, and I don't think we've
we do that. We hit those a lot on the show, yeah. Don't we? Why do they do that? You know what I'm talking about, right? Stall.
Yeah.
It goes almost go all the way to the floor, but then it doesn't.
I can understand it going all the way to the floor on the sides and then keeping the front a little bit open so you can see if somebody's in there. Like, you see shoes.
Sure.
But you can, like, it's still open on the sides and you can see the person next to you while you're both doing stuff.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So you think the front is open because you can be like, oh, there's somebody in there. Because you can see feet.
Maybe. But I mean, you could just put a switch on the door that would accomplish that without having to expose your feet.
What do you mean a switch on the door? Like a vacant, like no vacant thing?
Yeah, like on an airplane bathroom.
Yeah. See, if we designed bathrooms, we would knock it out of the park.
I would be the best bathroom designer ever.
Me too.
Because I'm very considerate of people's
feelings, time and efficiency and feelings.
Yeah.
And privacy. We could go into business as, like, co-bathroom designers.
This, I might actually be better at this than anything in the world. Like, I think I would really be very good at this.
Bathroom design?
Because a lot bothers me about bathrooms.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of areas for improvement. Let's put it that way.
There's not a lot of advancements in bathroom technology.
No, the bathroom sciences have really not advanced at all.
That's really stagnating.
It really has. There's been no new innovation there. You know? Like, the most innovative thing they've had is, like, changing, like, 100 different ways to dispense paper towels.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, like, the big, like, oh, you can dry your hands this way now, you know? But that's it.
Yeah, and those don't really help the end user.
They don't help
businesses because
they don't help me when I'm going to the bathroom at all. They probably make it more annoying. And then they have the blower ones, right?
Oh,
and those don't even work at all.
Those are the worst things.
Blow germs everywhere
onto your body.
Have you used the ones where you have to, like, put your fingers inside? It's like the air blade or whatever. Have you used those or no?
You put your hand inside the machine?
Yes.
I would never put my hands in there.
So it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a box, okay? And it has like a slat in the top, okay? And you put your hands in the slat and then it blows air on your hands. And then you move your hands back and forth, like up and down. And it's supposed to dry your hands, okay?
I've never seen this.
Yes, this is it, okay? And the sides of the box are, like, have holes in them so, like, air flows through, you know? Yeah, that's it.
What if you accidentally touch the inside of the box?
That's what I think every time I do it. And guess what? Every time I touch the inside of the box.
That is gross.
I just don't get the point. Like, maybe someone with extremely steady hands who's, like, really good at the game Operation would, like, have a really clean blow drying experience, but not me.
I mean, you're having air blown on your hands too. They're getting, like, knocked around in there by the air current.
Yeah. I think maybe the idea is, like, oh, it'll be cleaner because we're not blowing the germs into the air, we're blowing them into the box. But your hands are also whacking up against the side of the box while you put them in there.
Yeah, boxes are kind of notoriously good bacteria growing grounds too.
Yeah, I don't know, it's weird. But then, yeah, you have the blowers, which are just, like, the worst invention in mankind. And then you have the other ones that are, like, the automated
dispensers, yeah.
You have to wave your hand, which I guess those are fine, but sometimes they don't work, and then you have to, like, do it anyway. It's just like, okay, what's the point? The best ones are just the ones that have the paper towels just hanging out like a tissue box.
Yeah.
And you pull them, and then the force of you pulling that out makes the other one pop into the next place. You know?
Yeah, those are like, my favorite ones.
That's simple design. Like, just do that.
I can understand why people would want automatic ones, though, because I'm someone that likes to take a lot. I like to really get my hands dry.
Yeah, me too. I take a lot.
And, you know, that uses up a lot of paper, and it's expensive.
Yeah, but then you just do the automated one. You wave your hand over it, like, 8 times, and you get a bunch of paper towels, you know?
People have more incentive to use less, though, because they're in a hurry.
I guess. It does take longer if you do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's not even the worst problem with bathrooms. I'm just saying.
No.
That's the big innovation of the bathroom, and it's, like, not even doing anything. Like, it's innovative, and it really hasn't solved any issues, you know? But what have they done with toilets? They've, like, made them auto-flush. Like, auto-flush when you're done. Like, woohoo. Great. You know? And, yeah, different shapes. And then stalls are basically the same they've ever been.
Yeah, it's just it's basically a hole.
Yeah, it's a hole. Like, what? This is stupid. Also, urinals, like, we've never iterated on the urinal in my lifetime. Have you seen any different urinals since you've been alive?
There are the ones that go all the way to the floor.
Yep, they're all basically gross. The same. Like, why would you even do that? Like, whose idea was that? Like, why aren't you making a urinal that goes all the way to the floor? Like, someone was sitting there, it's like, you know what would be good? Instead of the regular urinal, let's make one that goes all the way to the floor so everyone has more likelihood of splashing urine everywhere while they're peeing. Great idea. And then we'll have no barriers between the urinals, and then everyone can just look at each other's...
Okay, I'm gonna create a situation here. All right. So there's 3 urinals in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's 2 of the regular ones and 1 of the short ones.
Yeah, the little ones.
There's number 1, number 2, and number 3. Number 1 is on the far left, 2 is in the middle, and 3 is the small one, and it's on the right.
Okay.
So there's a person using number 1 on the far left.
The tall, the regular
one. Yeah. You walk in, and there's a person using number 1, the tall one, on the far left. What do you do?
I'm going for the middle one.
You don't use the little one?
I'm not using the little
urinal. But then you have to stand next to...
I don't care what this man has to say about my urinal preference. I'm not using the little one because I don't have good enough aim to consistently hit the target of the little one.
Oh, but I don't want to be weird and stand next to the man.
Well, there's a
perfectly good urinal on the far right.
Really. They're little, though. They don't work very well. Like, they're for kids. That's what they're for.
I would use the little one because I don't want to stand next to someone.
You know what I would do? I would see if there's a stall open. I'd just be like, I'm using the stall.
I mean, yeah.
Don't have to even make this decision anymore.
I think I think you can tell a lot about a person based on how they handle that situation, though.
Yeah, probably. The little urinals, they're a problem, though. I mean,
yeah, they're horrible. They suck, but
they're hard to. You have to really concentrate when you're
using. You can't really relax and enjoy yourself.
No, you have to like get right up on them. You know, you have to really.
You have to kind of bend your knees.
Yep,
like you're lifting something really heavy.
You have to get in the zone.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I'm going to make it. I mean, the thing about urinals, this is a disgusting topic.
We've been talking about this for like 15 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Bathroom talk with bats and time. No one has good aim at urinals.
Nope.
No one. Because some people be like, yeah, I can do it fine. But every time you go to the bathroom, just look on the floor of the urinal. Just no matter, I guarantee you. It will gross you out. You'll be like, this is disgusting. And yet, we consistently use urinals for like 100 years. We're like, yep, we know everyone pees on the floor. We're cool with it. As a society, we've decided that we're okay with that. That's what we're saying.
Have you ever seen someone in bare feet in the bathroom, in a public
bathroom? Yes, I have. Have you?
Oh my God, me too.
Oh my God, I almost vomited because I was so grossed out by that.
What are you thinking?
I think they have a death wish or something. They're like, I'm done with life. I want to get, like, a bacteria on my foot and
just like, die. Screw it.
Who cares? Who even cares anymore? I mean, bathrooms are already disgusting. Like, take enough precaution to, like, you know, don't go out of your way to make them grosser by not wearing feet. Don't want not wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, back to the stall situation. I think if we just had, like, panels all the way down, it'd make for a better experience.
I want individual rooms. I don't want a stall. There should be little tiny rooms.
Tiny rooms.
There should be a door that locks.
That's expensive, though.
Yeah, but
right.
You could just do, like, cubicle-style rooms.
Cubicle bathrooms?
Yeah.
That could work, I guess.
Yeah.
But it'd be expensive. They'd be like, that's too expensive. We're going back to stalls.
Yeah, I guess.
And while we're at it, we're going to use all urinals. Because urinals are the best. I hate urinals, also. I don't know if you realize that already. But
I knew that about you.
It's just, they're horrible. They're disgusting. The other thing I hate about urinals, we're talking about this a lot, I'm sorry, in advance to our listeners. See, this is a problem with this podcast. Once we get on a topic, even if it's like a disgusting one that no one wants to listen to, we're like, we're going to talk about this for 30. We're going to talk about this until it's naturally done. The other problem with urinals is when they're full, people will go to stalls and they'll be like, hey, I guess I'll use the stall like it's a urinal.
And I just.
And then they'll just
stand there and let her rip. Just go whole hog all over the place.
And let her rip is the best way to describe that, because they literally let her rip.
Yeah.
And you can really tell that people have no idea what they're doing when
they don't care. It's like they're only going to be in the bathroom.
Nope.
I mean, they're leaving soon. They don't have to deal with it.
No, and then the next poor guy comes in that has to actually use the stall, and they're like, great, some man decided to just do everything all over the seat and the floor. Just, I feel like how you use the bathroom really shows what kind of person you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're a considerate human being, you'll,
it's like, yeah,
you'll,
you might not have to deal with it, but...
But someone's going to.
Someone will.
Someone will. And I don't ever want to be that person, so I make sure that I'm not creating a situation for someone else, because I know I've been that person before. You know, it's like a pay it forward kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're making the next experience for the next person good, and hoping they do the same, and do the same, do the same, but...
But they don't. No.
But they don't. And that's how humanity has fallen from grace. Okay. We spent a lot of time on that question. That's fine, though. If you catch someone staring at you multiple times... Oh, this is a good question for, like, a single person like yourself. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
If you catch someone staring at you multiple times, how do you determine if they're attracted to you? Or if they think you're hideous/weird-looking, that they can't look away.
This is the worst question in the world.
Well, how do you do
that? I think you know me well enough to know that...
It's always number two.
The part of my brain that determines if people are attracted to me or not just doesn't work.
It just doesn't function.
I don't
it's
have
It's malfunctioning. So you would always think they're just like... Think you're weird looking or something?
I would assume that I did something weird without realizing it. Like I made a weird face or that.
Or like my pen exploded in my pocket or something.
My fly is undone.
Uh huh.
Or that maybe they didn't look at me at all. Because no one just looks at you and stares and keeps.
Maybe they're looking at someone else or like motioning to somebody else or something like that.
Yeah, so
like,
I will go through every possible explanation
scenario
like
you.
Even ones that are just weird, like stuff that couldn't be true.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like, okay, maybe this person is working together with another person in this room in order to like make judgments about me or something. Like maybe there's a my brain goes to conspiracies.
Yeah. Right, and like immediately. Oh God!
Like, do you remember we went to? Well, it was sort of like a convention, Summer Games Done Quick. Once
you can say, yeah, we went to this.
Yeah, we went to Summer Games Done Quick, and you know, I'm single. Yeah.
I know this story.
All right, this story is so sad.
I was gonna bring it up, but I didn't want to do it on air. Cause,
no,
but
it's
you're
fine.
Gonna,
it's fine.
If you're gonna bring it up, then go ahead.
I'm a disaster, and I'm okay with that. So. We're sitting, and we're in an auditorium, and we're watching this event. And, you know, one of my favorite games is being played where they're watching a video game for charity. And, you know, it's Silent Hill, and Silent Hill's a really cool game, and it generally like people that like Silent Hill, because you have to be kind of a particular kind of person
to
like
that interesting game. Person, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so we're sitting and watching this game. We're like, not really sitting together. You're a few spots away from me.
I
we
am.
Were just kind of, like, hanging out, and it was early in the morning. We were getting some quiet time. And this really, really pretty girl just sits right next to me in an empty auditorium, like in the seat directly next to me.
And there was like no, like there was like plenty of, like there was like a million
there
seats.
There was like five people in like a 200 seat room, and she just sits right next to me.
And everyone was like sitting like at least 5 or 10 seats away from each other person. Like no one was sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Because you didn't need to. It's like if you went on a plane and the plane was empty and you sat next to the one guy that's like you would never do that, right? Like,
yeah.
This is what happened.
And this is what happened to me. She sits right next to me and she looks really cute and she obviously likes Silent Hill because we're kind of laughing at the same parts in the game. I don't say anything to her, of course. I'm not like, hey, so you like Silent Hill, huh? How's it going? You enjoying the speedrun? How are you liking FTEQ? Have you ever been before? Like, I don't say any of this. The immediate thought that comes into my brain is that she's working together with a person from, like, the Discord chat.
Like, to do what?
To sabotage me or something. To spy on me. To try and get something from me. Like, I have this totally insane paranoia. When I told you, you were just like, what are you talking about?
I told you about this afterwards because you didn't, like, realize what was happening. No. It was funny.
No, I thought there were people from the internet conspiring with this person to try and sabotage me.
Yes, that's exactly what was happening. They told me they were all going to do that, and then they did. No, I'm
but
just
no, actually, just a really cute girl that I probably would have had a lot in common with sat next to me, and I just...
It was the same person that kept looking at you in the previous one, too. So
I
told you that. No. I told you that later, but and then
I
it just made you more...
I still don't believe you. It didn't.
And it made you more angry. I remember that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, she sat next to you, and it was all interested in you before. And, yeah, that made you more angry. Well, so, you're just gonna have to get really lucky is my my advice. I don't know how you solve that.
There's nothing you can do.
Don't think the worst of people. Think well of people.
I think well of people, but I also suspect everybody's intentions.
That's true, are bad. All right, you want to do one more before we get into, To what the hell are we doing? Trivia?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Non-organ donors of Reddit. Sorry, I'm reading the Reddit part. Okay. Why aren't you an organ donor? I'll just say I'm not an organ donor, and I don't know, I'm not. Judge me if you will, but whatever.
I was, I made this decision when I was 16 years old, and I think it's that's a weird point in your life to be making a decision like that.
It is, and yeah.
So... I selected yes when I was doing the driver's license thing because I just thought that, you know, that's the standard answer.
Oh, that's like, a good
yeah,
thing.
You know,
yeah, sure, I'll donate an organ.
If they need them, they can have them. I didn't realize what I signed up for when I did that.
Sorry, you want to take that back now?
Yeah, so I've been meaning to change that.
So you don't want to be an organ donor?
No, I don't want to be an organ donor, but I currently am.
Do you have like some weird conspiracy theory of like, oh, organ donors are gonna like, I don't know, they're gonna be the first they kill in the hospital to get the organs or something?
No, I don't really believe in like popular conspiracies like that. It's really just weird social ones that get me. Like they're all my own. They're not. Like, oh. I don't read a theory and be like, you know, that could happen. They might.
Oh, it's just like your own personal conspiracy.
Yeah, it's just my own. I
deal like,
with personal ones.
You're like Mel Gibson in Conspiracy Theory.
I have never seen that movie, but probably.
Well, Mel Gibson is in a movie called Conspiracy Theory, and he has a conspiracy theory about literally everything.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
And then one of them ends up being right, and it's like, whoa, it's a thriller. And then, yeah. That's the movie.
He has a hard time trusting it because his theories are usually wrong, I would guess.
Yeah, and he has this cool thing where he puts a glass bottle on his door handle. so that if someone like tries to shake it to get in, it'll fall and crack.
Right.
And then he'll know that someone's trying to get into his apartment.
I need to write that down.
Isn't that cool, though?
Yeah.
And obviously it happens later in the movie. You know, they wouldn't show you that otherwise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that just reminded me of that, because he has a bunch of personal conspiracy. Like, the world is conspiring against him or whatever.
You know what would be a really funny movie?
What?
If it was a movie with someone like that in it, just a conspiracy theorist, and they took a lot of insane precautions to minimize the conspiracies against them, like putting the bottle on the door, and none of them were ever validated or useful at all.
Like, ever, in the course of the entire movie.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of cool ideas like that.
And then this movie just ends, so this movie has no plot. It's just like,
nope, it's just him in everyday life. It's
this very art house movie. Yeah. Like, you think something's all... Like, you're always on the verge of thinking something is going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, one of these things is going to be true. And it's
like, they wouldn't make a movie if just none of this was true, but no.
And it just, like, it ends, like, without even anything happening. Like, you think it'll at least end with him, like... Maybe recovering from his conspiracy theory. Yeah, making some kind
of life change.
Or, like, maybe getting a new job or, like, meeting someone or something. But, like, he just goes out to lunch one day and just, like, he goes to McDonald's. He goes to Arby's, right?
Yeah.
Bringing it around. And then he orders the roast beef and cheddar, sits down at the table, unwraps it, takes a bite of the sandwich. The camera kind of slowly zooms into his face. He looks at the lens and then... That's it. Credits.
Does like a little sigh, like, I'm eating at Arby's. The Arby's.
And then that's it. That's the movie. That's deep, man.
That would be an extremely good movie.
I would watch that. It would be named after the main character. Like, whatever his name is.
Like, he would, one syllable name, like, just Greg. Like
Seth or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg is good. I like Greg.
Greg's a cool name.
Two G's or one? Or, well, obviously, two G's are in Greg, but, like, two G's at the end of Greg or one. You know how some people have Greg?
Greg with one G sounds like a more normal person than Greg with two G's.
Right. So are you saying you want him to have two G's?
Yeah, probably two G's.
Two G's? Stands out a little more?
Maybe he meets other people named Greg in the movie, and they have one G, but they're all normal because they have one G.
Oh, yeah. He goes to, like, a Greg convention or something.
The movie is just a ton of small coincidences that just drive him nuts.
Because like, he thinks they're, like, all conspiracies. Like, your name's Greg, too? What? No,
it's not.
My name's Greg. What? Yeah. And he would have, like, a really boring job. Like, he'd be, like, a...
Works in IT.
Works in IT. All right, there it is. He works in IT, and he gets, like, really dumb questions every day, and he's like, But that's why he's so paranoid, because he, like, knows that the internet is really scary or whatever.
Yeah, his career sort of enables him to be even more paranoid than he would be normally.
Right. Like, he has a bunch of, like, computers at home that are all, like... scanning the web for, like, weird shit that goes down or whatever.
Yeah. He's scanning newspapers for the word Morpheus. Right?
Why Morpheus? Because the Matrix?
Yeah, because that's a scene in the Matrix.
Because he's like, oh, I knew the Matrix is real. I'm going to get out of the Matrix.
He has one of those, like, string and, like, picture walls. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, the crazy walls.
The crazy walls.
Yeah, like in... A Beautiful Mind or whatever.
Yeah, just any FBI thriller.
And he just, like, links, like, random stuff together that, like, makes no sense.
This guy's name is Greg. My name is Greg. Oh, I went to the Greg convention. I went to Arby's.
Like, right, and then he has, like, a string from, like, his mother to, like, the Queen of England or something. Like, some random historical person, right? And it's just like, what does that even mean? Yeah, I like it. I like the movie Greg. That's good. Okay, you want to get into trivia?
Let's do it.
All right, you're asking the questions.
I'm the trivia master this week.
You're the trivia champ today.
All right. I'm going to have you choose some lifelines. You can choose 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo. You can choose Monty Hall, 50-50, Phone a Friend, Ask a Rando, Rhyme Time. I think that's all of them.
I'm going to go with 10-second Bing, Monty Hall, and Phone a Friend.
Got it.
I think that's a good
thing. It's a good balance.
I think 10-second Bing, I think we hit the sweet spot with 10-second Bing.
Yeah.
Like, it's good enough that it can search quickly like Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more bloated, but it's no Yahoo. You know, it's no Yahoo bloat. Like, Yahoo, you don't know what you're getting into there. All right, I'm ready. What's my first category?
First category is bird.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
A blank is the total number of eggs laid by one duck during one nesting season.
Okay.
Is it A, a brood?
Mm-hmm.
B, a clutch? C, a class? Or D, an issue? So either a brood of eggs, a clutch of eggs, a class of eggs, or an issue of eggs.
A class, like C-L-A-S-S?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I want to say these all sound like they could be true. None of them are like, oh, that's obviously not it. I just want to say I hope it's an issue because that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
An issue. That duck issued his egg supply, or her egg supply, for the spring and is flying off. I can hear that in, like, Richard Attenborough. The duck issues the eggs and flies off to hibernate in the winter. They'll be ready in spring. All right, I'm really bad at it, Richard Attenborough, but you know what I mean.
A brood, a clutch, a class, or an issue?
I think my inkling is clutch. Just that sounds... I feel like I've heard that before, like a clutch of eggs. But I think I'm going to use my... I'm going to use my 10-second ping on this one.
Sounds good. Let me know when you are ready.
I don't have any one that I know it's not, so I don't want to use Monty Hall.
Yeah.
I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, ready? Three.
Hold on. Can you repeat the question one more time so I can...
A blank is the total number of eggs laid by one duck.
Total number of eggs, one duck.
One duck, one nesting season.
Okay, got it.
Ready? 3, 2, 1. Bing. Just bing it. Bing it good.
Eggs, duck. Nesting season.
2 seconds.
One second. Oh no! Okay. I can scroll on the page, right?
Yes.
I see the word clutch. I don't see the word issue anywhere. And then brood. I don't see brood. Oh, no, I do see brood. Damn it. All right, I'm going to go with my gut, and I see the word clutch, but it's kind of an out-of-context thing because I didn't click on anything. These are just the search results.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with clutch, final answer.
B, clutch is correct.
Yes!
A clutch is the total number of eggs laid by one duck during nesting season.
I was worried because it only says it once, and it says, nesting facts, clutch size, 1 to 13 eggs.
Nice.
But the page, it says this is like about a bunch of different birds, so it's not necessarily ducks.
Could be blue jays.
So it could have been something else, so I could have been just completely wrong. But anyway, I'm glad I got that right. All right, what do you got for me next?
Next category is Australia.
I love Australia.
Same. In 2009, the government launched the Blank Management Program, which aims to keep the blank pest problem under control.
Oh, God. Okay.
A bandicoot. B, a dingo. C, a cane toad. Or D, a camel. In 2009...
What? Camel?
In 2009, the government launched the Blank Management Program, which aims to keep the blank pest problem under control. Is it a bandicoot pest problem, a dingo pest problem, a cane toad pest problem, or a camel pest problem?
So I don't think it's camel, because I don't think camels are a pest, and I don't even know if they're in Australia. Cane toad I've never heard of, but it sounds reasonable, you know? Like, it sounds like that's a thing, mm-hmm. right? A bandicoot, I didn't even know that was a real thing. I thought, like, Crash Bandicoot, like that kind of deal?
Apparently, I will tell you that it's a real animal.
I didn't even know bandicoot was real.
Yeah.
But okay. Now, dingoes, I always hear about dingoes. You know, like, the dingo ate your baby.
That's so sad. You know,
that kind of thing, right? So, yes. Like, I think that's a real thing in Australia, like, dingo problem. They did make a big fence to keep dingoes out. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. The dingo fence is the longest fence.
Yeah, exactly. We had that trivia question, longest fence in Australia. So I wouldn't be surprised if dingo was right. But I'm gonna be sure. I'm gonna do Imani Hall.
Okay.
I'm gonna lock in camel.
All right. The answer is either a cane toad pest problem or a camel pest
problem.
Really?
It's not a dingo. Oh my god. I thought it was a dingo for sure. Okay. All right. I'm gonna do cane toad then.
Final
I do
answer.
Not think they have a camel problem. Yeah, cane toad, final answer.
That is incorrect.
No, you're lying.
In 2009, the government launched camel management program.
No way. They have too many camels in Australia?
Too many camels.
I need to Google this after the show.
Apparently, they kill a lot of camels in Australia.
What the hell?
They go out and just kill them. There's too many.
What the hell? I didn't even know there were camels in Australia, period.
It's a $19 million program.
Holy moly.
It's a lot of money killing camels.
So, remember how, like, a long time ago we talked about the snake man in Florida that would go around just killing a bunch of snakes and, like,
getting
money?
Yeah, giving
them
to the...
There's totally a camel guy in Australia.
Yes, they're probably...
There's probably multiple camel guys. They just, like, they look like the sniper from TF2, and they just, like, shoot camels all the time. I wonder how they prove they killed a camel, because they're kind of big.
They collect their heads.
They chop off their foot, like, the one of their feet. Or something, and they're like, here you go, I got a camel foot. And they're like, thank you. Or yeah, they chop their head off. The head would be a little unwieldy to carry.
Yeah, camels have big heads.
I think feet would be the way to go, because you can really tell a camel by their hoofs, you know.
You take a picture of them, but I like the idea of having camel feet.
I completely forgot about taking a
just cut off their foot.
I like how that's where I go immediately. Like, the logical step is, like, take a picture of you with the camel and be like, I got the camel. But I'm just like, you gotta cut off a body part.
I mean, what's to stop someone from cutting off all 4 feet? I mean, that seems unfair.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Maybe you need 4 feet to turn it. To count as a full camel.
Or a tail. Camels has a tail. You can take the tail.
You can take the kale. I kind of like the 4 feet.
I kind of like that, too.
Like, what do you got for me? And they're like, I got a foot. They're like, we need 4 to prove you killed the camel. I kind of want this to be the new currency of, like, Mad Max Australia.
Camel feet.
You know, like camel feet and tail or whatever. That'd be good. Because then it's like, oh, well, you're killing the camels. We need them to die. And you've got the camel feet and the camel tail. I just imagine a man walking around with camel feet in his, like,
sack. Yeah.
In his sack. In his Australia sack or whatever. And he's like, oh, just taking these over to the government camel building to turn in for some money.
He has, like, a really morbid sense of humor and does, like, walking, like...
Yes,
gestures exactly. With the feet. He's like, oh, just a camel like, running
clip,
around.
Clip, clop, clip, clop. Just taking the camel feet. Oh, God. All right, let's do the last question. I can't believe it's camels. That's so weird.
Apparently they're a big problem.
That's so weird. All right.
Last category is video games.
I like video games.
According to the Sonic comic, Sonic's speed and color are a result of a blank. Is it either A, a lab accident, B, a genetic mutation, C, lab experiments, or D, an ancient artifact?
Ooh, these all sound very possible. So lab experiment, lab accident, ancient artifact, and what was the last one?
Genetic mutation.
Genetic mutation. Shape and color, right?
His... Speed and color.
Oh, speed and color, Sean. Because he's blue.
I mean, he's sort of a normal hedgehog shape.
So I was waiting for the phone-a-friend, but I don't think my phone-a-friend is going to be any use for this one. But I think it'll be funny.
Yeah.
I need you as a phone-a-friend. You're not going to get it. But I need you for this phone, friend.
Challenge accepted.
All right, we use the phone, friend. Can you repeat the question so I can read it back?
According to the Sonic comic... Sonic's speed and color...
Sonic's speed and color...
Are the result of a...
Are the result of a...
A, lab accident.
A, lab accident.
B, genetic mutation.
B, genetic mutation.
C, lab experiments.
C, lab experiments.
Or D, an ancient artifact.
Or D, ancient artifacts. She rolled her eyes immediately when I said Sonic comic, by the way. I just thought you should know.
Add that color.
So what do you think? What are you thinking?
I think B.
What was B? You don't know what B was? It was B?
So I remember thinking that seems like...
All right, what was B?
Genetic mutation.
Genetic mutation.
Doesn't that seem realistic?
She's using B because that's the letter she wants to go with.
That's not true.
All right, genetic mutation. You'll go with that one?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay, fine. We'll go with B. Final answer, genetic mutation.
B, genetic mutation is incorrect.
Incorrect. Oh, well.
The correct answer is lab accident. Friend, I
never get it right. It's a lab accident?
Yes.
So he had like a Joker thing going on?
I don't think it was... I mean, maybe.
He fell into a vat or something.
The classic fell into a vat of chemicals.
I feel like that's always the thing, right? Like, in any, like, fiction, it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, what's your origin story? Like, oh, well, I fell into a vat of chemicals.
Yeah, and I don't know why that's so popular, because that's... It's just totally has no basis in reality or science whatsoever.
They're not going to have a big vat of chemicals just chilling out in the open, you know, with like a catwalk like right above it, you know, like so people can fall in, you know.
Yeah, there's so many more, much more realistic options in you choose. Fell off the catwalk into the vat. At the old chemical plant.
The old chemical science factory. the science factory. That's what it would be. What do you think Sonic's accident was? Like, it was a lab accident, so like... Maybe it's like a Dr. Manhattan kind of thing.
I think it was probably a Robotnik thing. He was experimenting on hedgehogs because he hates animals and traps them. Oh,
you're probably right.
Yeah.
I bet it was like, oh, I'm going to make like evil hedgehogs or something to like serve in my army. And he like irradiated him or something.
Yeah, he did something.
Sonic like got too much radiation or something, and he like turned blue and was like started talking and stuff. He's like, I'm Sonic, gotta go fast.
I'm Sonic. I'm a 15-year-old boy
that can run really fast and like chili dogs. And then Robotnik's like, no, and then Sonic just like runs. And then Sonic the Hedgehog 1 on Sega Genesis begins right there
outside of the lab.
Yeah, you
know, there you go. It's in the middle of the greens area. And
yeah. I mean, that's where I would put a lab if I was Dr. Robot.
Same, actually.
Right? In the middle of the jungle or whatever. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, you want to do one more question before we sign off the show here?
Sure.
I need to find a good one. That's a bad 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 one. Oh, here's a good one. What would you want your tombstone to say? I'm going to make the constraint that it can only be one. I mean, you can have, like, you know, year of birth, blah, blah, blah. But you can only have, like, one sentence of, like, saying or whatever. It can be whatever you want. What do you got? Here lies Bat Snacks. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And then there's like a mumble. And then there's
mumbling.
In asterisks. Perfect.
Oh, that's been the Time Bad Show, episode number 36. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Have a good one.